Greetings, welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, continuing on with our interpretation of the Tosefta that is at the beginning of the Masachet, that modifies the Mishnah, and we already saw the notion of the two of them holding on to the shtar, and here is a variation. Shnayim Adukim B'Shtar, Malve Omer Shalihu, V'Nafal Mimeni. So the shtar that we have here is a shtar chov, and the malveh, whose name is written in as the lender on the shtar, says, that's my shtar, I lost it, umetzativ, and I found it. Loveh omer, the loveh says, shochahu, I agree that it was written properly, uprativ lach, but I already paid it, I was holding, I lost it, and I found it. So now what do we do? Yitkayem hashtar b'chotamav, meaning that if we can substantiate the edim and their signatures, then it sounds as if the shtar is good and the malva can collect. Diver Rebbe. Shem Gamliel Omer Yachloku. They split. We'll have to see what this is talking about. Nafal liyad dayan. This is a very strange phrase, but we'll fix it. If the shtar fell near a dayan, lo yotziu olamit, then they can't use it at all, ever. Rebbe Yossi Omer Haribu Chazkato. It just maintains its chazaka. It could be used. All right. Every one of these approaches needs to be examined. Amar Mari. Kayim Ashtar B'chotamav. Let's look at Rebbe's opinion. And that is that if we can have kiyum ashtar, then we could use the shtar. V'gavah le malveh kulei, so you mean the malveh could now collect the entire debt? V'leit le matnitin shnayim ochsin, where Rebbe doesn't accept our Mishnah about shnayim ochsin metalit, you have to split it. Here you have a shtar, so it means you should split the shtar, and the malveh should be able to collect only half. So Marav Amar Rav Nachman, bim mekuyam divrei akol yachloku. In other words, he reinterprets the machloket Rabbi Moshe ben Gamliel. If it's a shtar mekuyam, then everybody agrees that you're going to split it. Ki pligi, the machloket Rabbi Moshe ben Gamliel is b'she'enu mekuyam. If you don't have aiding to be mekayim the shtar, Rabbi sar v'mod b'shtar shektavot tzarich lekaymo. And this is something we dealt with last really in Ketubot. If you admit that a shtar was written, it still needs kiyum. It's your admission that the shtar was written, you as the loveh, admit that the shtar was written, in order to use the shtar to extract money, we still need kiyum hashtar. V'imakayim le polig v'ilomakayim le lo polig. So therefore, when the loveh says, yes, I wrote the shtar, but I already paid it, then if we can be makayim the shtar independently of his admission, then it will be like anything else, and we will split it. If not, then the malva gets nothing. My tama, why chas pabalmahu? Because without the loveh's admission, it's nothing. Man kamash vile lahai shtara, who makes this piece of paper into a shtar? Loveh, it's his admission. Haka amar de pariyam, but he says it's parua, which means it's sort of a pesha asar, where the loveh is the only source of reliable information that the shtar is a valid shtar, and he claims that it was parua. So therefore, he won't have to pay anything. If there is independent corroboration of the validity of the shtar, the Hainu Kiyum Ashtar, then it will be a regular metzia that Shnayim Ochzin Bo, and then we will split it. Shem Gamliel Sar Ramoda B'Shtar Shektavo Ein Tzarich L'Kaymo. Shem Gamliel is of the opinion that if the Loveh admits the shtar was written, that's it, you don't need Kiyum Ashtar, it's considered Mekuyam, and therefore, V'Yafag Avdolo Mekayim Le, even without independent corroboration, Yachloku. Okay, the next part of the Braita was Nafal liyad dayan lo yotziu olamit. And the question is, Maishna liyad dayan? Who cares that it fell near a dayan? That obviously has to be reinterpreted. Amarava hachikamar. V'acher shematzar shtar shenafal liyad dayan. If another person, an outsider, not the lover of the malveh, found a shtar that had come near the hands of the dayan, meaning, pechidami, dechatav be henpek, that the shtar already had a henpek on it, meaning a writ of seizure on it, a substantiation of the beit din. Then lo yotziu olamit. Then they can't ever use it. V'lo mibayelo katav behenpek. Certainly, if there was no henpek written on it, the ikal memra katav l'vod v'lo lavat. It could be that the lender wrote the shtar, or even the borrower had the shtar written, and then in the end he didn't borrow at all. Ella afilu katav behenpek, even if the henpek was written, which means we know that the money was borrowed. Did mekuyam lo yachzir chashinam lepiron. If it is even a shtar mekuyam, you still don't return it to the malva because we're concerned that perhaps it was already paid. Rabbi Yossi omer harehu bechezkato. Rabbi Yossi will say that if there is a henpek on it, then we are not concerned that it was already paid, and we leave it b'chezkato, give it to the malva, and he can collect from it again. Wait a second, Rabbi Yossi is not concerned when we find a shtar, that the shtar might already have been paid off, and by giving it to the Baal HaShtar, he's going to collect a second time. V'atanya, matza shtar ktuba b'shuk, if you find the ktuba b'shuk, Bisman shabal modeh, if the husband admits that it's his ktubah, yachzir laisha, you get back to the woman. Ain't a bal modeh, if the Baal says, no, it's not my shtar, it's a forgery, it's not me, lo yachzir lo lazav lo zeh, you can't give it to either one of them. It's nothing. Rabbi Yossi omer, odah tachat ba'ala, yachzir laisha. Rabbi Yossi says the following. If the woman is presently married, then give it to her. Nit armelo in garsha, if she's already widowed or divorced, then lo yachzir lo lazav lo lazeh. You don't give it to her, the husband of the estate, or to her. So that means that Rabbi Yossi seems to be concerned that perhaps the ketubah has already been paid off. And in our bright, that he was the one who didn't have that concern. So the first answer we give is epuch, meaning turn our bright backwards, the positions backwards, and read, nafali adayan leotzi olamit, divi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that you can never use it because we're concerned it was already paid. Chamomim harbechazkato, and chachom have the opposite position. But if that's the case, yachi kasher rabbanan ad rabbanan. Then we have a problem of the Rabbanan in the Brita here, based on our flip, that the Rabbanan say we are choshish lepiron, as opposed to Rabbanan in the Brita about the Ketubah, where they say that if the husband admits that it's his, then we give it back to the woman, right? And also that if he doesn't admit it's his, then we can't give it to either one of them. So the answer is Shtar Ketubah Kula Rabbi Yossi. The Brita about Ketubah is not Rabbanan versus Rabbi Yossi. It's all Rabbi Yossi. This is how you should read it. Ein habal modeh le'achzir lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. If the husband doesn't admit that it's his, you don't give it to either one of them. That's is only true if she's widowed or divorced, meaning she would already be after Piron. If she's still married to her husband, which means she would not have collected yet. Yachzir la'isha. Why? Meaning, we're not choshesh lepiron. But Rabbi Yossi says, if she's still married to her husband, you give her the shtar. If she's not married, if she's divorced or widowed, then you don't give it to her or to the estate. That's the first approach to solving this problem with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Papa says you don't have to flip the positions, and we always prefer not to flip the positions. Rabbi Yossi, the Devarim Drabbanan Kamar Lahu. In the case of Ketubah, Rabbi Yossi is not presenting his own opinion. Rabbi Yossi is not choshish lepiron. But Rabbi Yossi says to the Rabbanan, Lididi afilin tamim garshad nami lo choshish lepiron. From my position, even if she was already widowed or divorced, you still give her the Ketubah, and we're not concerned that she already collected it. Lididchu, but according to you, who say we are concerned she collected it, Odu limihat pa'oda tachat ba'alad yachzir la'isha. At least admit to me and agree with me that in a case where she is still married to her husband, that you should give it to her. Delava pironi, because she's not somebody who ever collected. What do the Rabbanan say? Emor tsrariat pasa. I should have the concern that perhaps the husband gave her some tsrarot, meaning he gave her some metaltalin during the marriage to collect, and really the ketubah was already collected. She had already given the shtar back to the husband. He's the one who lost it, and that's why it came to us here in the Beit Din. Okay, so now the second answer, the one that Rav Papa gave, was that perhaps the shtar, we have to be choshish the piron, and that's how Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan in our bright about the henpek, about the shtar shafali ad dayan, are consistent with the way we read it, and the bright about ketubah is all Rabbi Yossi representing his response to the Rabbanan according to the Rabbanan Shita. Okay. Ravina has a third approach. The Olam Epoch Kamaita. Let's go back to switching our bright to the one about the henpek. The time in the Rabbanan Hacha, Mishum Nachashinu Neshtek Tubot. The reason that the Rabbanan in Tubot are concerned, about Piron is not because they're normally concerned about Piron. And this is how we solve the problem that we had earlier, Kashu Rabbanan Ad Rabbanan. It's because specifically with Ketubot, we're concerned. Sometimes a husband will rewrite, he'll write his wife a second Ketubah, a nicer Ketubah, a bigger Ketubah. And therefore, we are concerned that there are two ktubot. Normally, you're not concerned about two shitrei chov on the same loan. Rabbi Yossi, the shtei ktubot l'chayish. And Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not choshish for such a thing, that he gave her two ktubot. And therefore, he says that if she is still married to her husband, then you may give her back the shtar, the ktubah. Okay, next piece. Amar Belozer, machloket b'shishnehem adukim b'tofes u'shnehem b'toref. Says the machloket, Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, about the shtar, is only if the two of them are holding on to the entire shtar. They're holding on to some of the tofes, which, remember, is the form part of it, and the toref, which is the specifics, his name, the name of the lender, the name of the borrower, the time, the amount. Okay? Now, aval echad aduk b'tofes v'echad aduk b'toref, if one of them is holding the tofes, which is not worth much, and the other one's holding the kishkas of the information, the toref, zenotel tofes v'zenotel toref, each one gets the part of the shtar that they're holding. That's where Belazer. Riochra Amar Leolam Cholkin. No, if two of them are holding on to the shtar, you split the shtar. Afilu Achad Aduk B'Tofes V'Achad B'Toref. Even if one has the Tofes, the other has the Toref, nonetheless, you split the shtar. Vatanya Zenotal Makom Shadom Agad. We have the Brita, the Tosefta from the beginning of Amitzia that says that when two of them are holding the shtar, they take it until the point that they have, meaning whatever they're holding on is theirs, and then they split the rest. So lotzricha the kai tarif b'mitzi, if the tarif is right in the middle of where their hands are. So ihachi ma'la memra, so then what's the question? So this is the same thing we had with Rava and the gold garment. Lotzricha de mikro of the gabi hachad, if it's closer to one of their hands. Ma'udatema amr le plog hachi, you think he could say, yeah, split it right down lengthwise, right between where we're holding it, which means I'll get the toref, which of course is more valuable. The other guy can say, why are you splitting it this way? Split it this way. In other words, if you split it lengthwise, then we end up each with half of the tarif. In other words, neither one of us has anything that's worth anything, and we're going to see that in a moment. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, that says, if you're holding the tofes, that's what you get. You're holding the tarif, that's what you get. Lamalei. What's he going to get out of it? What he needs a piece of paper to cover up his little dish. In other words, this paper is not going to do him any good. So Amar Lei Ladami, Ravina said as follows: it doesn't mean that I get half the star and you get half the star. It means that I have a percentage of the star, you have a percentage, or I have an interest in the star and you have an interest. According to Rabbi Lozer, I have the toref, which is greater interest in the star. We then sell the star, and then maybe I'll get 70% of the proceeds, you'll get 30% of the proceeds. Let's ladami. The Amar Hachi, Shtara de'ipe zman kamashavi, a star that has zman on it, we'll see in a minute what the value of having the date of the loan on it is. Delayed bezman kamashavi. If you have the same shtar without the zman, so let's say I'm the guy who grabbed the pit line that has the zman on it. My zman is making the shtar worth more. So you got to figure how much would this shtar be worth to sell a note without zman, and then how much more would it be worth with zman? Delayed bezman kamashavi. All right, because what's the difference? Bishtar de ipezman gabi mishabdi. If there is zman, then you can collect it from mishubadim. You can go to property that the borrower sold subsequently, and you can seize it. If there's no zman on it, you can't collect from a shubadim, because there's no way to tell which property he sold after the loan, because you don't know when the loan was. So yaivli ha'echt beni beni. So now the fellow's holding the toref gets the full value of the shtar, and then he has to pay the other guy who had the zman in his hands the added value of the shtar that he collected because it had zman in it. Okay. V'yachloku nami damra l'dami. And now when we go back to our Mishnah, we say yachloku, like with the garment, we mean l'dami. You don't split, in our case with the shtar, you don't split the shtar apart. You sell the shtar and you split the money. Dilote mahachish time also metalid hachi nami dipalgi. Because if you don't accept that, then what are you going to do with our Mishnah? You think they tear the garment apart? What's the point of that? So haf sedua, they're going to destroy it. So the answer is halokasha dechazid l'ktanim. Now, you could argue that in our Mishnah, we're not going to say this, but you could argue that in our Mishnah, we really tear the garment in half, because it's something you could give to a little kid. Even think in Rava's case, with that golden garment, you would split it. So, half sedua, you're going to destroy it. Good, it's something you can give to little princes to walk around it. So in the next Mishnah, where you're splitting an animal because two guys have an equal claim on it, you think you're going to cut the animal in half? Hafsadua. It's almost like Shlomo Mishpat Shlomo. So Bishlamat Torah Chayz LeBasar. Okay, good. If it's a cow, so you at least could use the basar. Aval Tmeah Hafsadua. But if it's a donkey, you've totally destroyed it and it's got no value whatsoever. So all of these questions lead us to the same conclusion. Ella Ladami. When we split something, it means we split it Ladami. We don't really physically split it. We sell it and split the proceeds. Hachanami Ladami. Okay, Amar Rami Rachama. Zotomer, Rami Rachama comes up with a very interesting inference from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, and it's unclear, and we'll spend the end of this little mini-sugya on discovering which particular case in the Mishnah indicated that one fellow picking the item up is kona for the other guy. Watch how it happens. Zotomeret, hamagbiya metzia lachavero, kona chavero. If I pick something up for you, it's yours. Where do you get that from? Well, we'll see. If you think that when I pick up something for you, you're not kona, I have to give it to you first. Think about the two guys who pick up the metzia together. Remember, the first case in our Mishnah is a metzia, and supposedly they picked up together. So it should be that if I pick it up for you, and that's not valid, that means that your half is like on the ground, and vice versa, my half's on the ground. Nobody should have a kinyan on it, even though they physically picked it up. It must be that when I pick something up on your behalf, that it becomes yours. Now, Amarava, Liolame Melacham, Agbiyam Tzil Chavero, Lokana Chavero. Rava said, and Rava's not taking a position on this, he's just saying, our Mishnah does not prove anything about that. You could argue that if I pick something up for you, it's not yours. And this is something we'll see later on in the parak in another context also. Since my kinyan is good for me, it's also good for you. And there's a fundamental difference between Rambam Chama and Rava. In Rambam Chama's world, I'm picking it up on your behalf. I'm almost appointing myself a shliach, zachin lanam shel b'fanav, and it becomes yours. In Rava's world, I'm making the kinyan for myself, and you're sort of a partner riding along, and since it works for me, it works for you also. Taidan, he proves it. If I tell my shaliach to go steal for me, v'ganav, and he does, patur. I'm patur. I didn't steal anything. But v'shutvin shaganvu chayavin. But if partners steal, they are chayav, even though each one only picked up half. Because migo, that his, the half he picked up, it works for him. The other half he gets also. And the half that he picks up also works for his partner. In my time, a why? So Rav is satisfied with that conclusion. I'm a Rava, so now we go from there. Now that we say that we apply the rule of Migo when it comes to a Kenyan, that since this Kenyan is good for me, it's now good for you also, that you're my partner. So watch the following. Now, just one quick introduction. In the fifth parak of Gitin, the famous Mishnah about Darkei Shalom, Chachamim established a Kenyan for Chershim, who are otherwise incompetent. It's a kinyan derabanan, b'kumi shum darkei shalom, to make sure that people won't take things from them, etc. Now watch this. Chereish u'pikeach shigbiu metzia. Let's say a chereish and a competent person together pick a metzia. Mitoch shekana chereish kana pikeach. Since the chereish is kone, midrabanan, so therefore the pikeach is also kone. However, notice this. The pikeach is picking up an item, and the other half it's sort of not being picked up, because the chereish doesn't really count. But the Cheresh's kinyan works for the Pikeach. We're going to go, by the way, a 180 on this. So Bishlam Cheresh Kona de Kamagbele Ben Dat. I understand why the Cheresh is Kona, because the Ben Dat, the Pikeach, picked up the other half. Ella Pikeach my Kona, how'd the Pikeach get it? So that doesn't work. Ella Ema Cheresh Kona Pikeach Lo Kona. Which means, by the way, we're shooting down the Migo. We're saying that just because I'm Kona, it doesn't mean that you come along for the ride. So therefore, the Cheresh is Kona because the Pikeach picked up the other half. The Cheresh's half he picks up, Midrabanan, that works. The Pikeach's picking up the other half, and therefore it's Kona for him. But the Pikeach isn't Kona because he's picking up half, but the other half is Kilu not being picked up as far as he's concerned. So Umay Migo, so if that's the case, then Migo really isn't being applied here because we're splitting it. We're saying, you're Kona, you're not Kona. What's the Migo? Migo to Shnei Cherishim Baal Makano. The answer is because since the Rabbanan said if two Cherishim pick something up together, it's a valid Kinyan, Midrabanan. So since that works, Hainami Kona. So therefore, even this Cheresh, who's picking up with a Pikeach, he's Kone. So Haimai, let's examine it. Im Tim Tzolom Magbiya Mitzel Chavero Kona Chavero, if you accept Rambam Bar Chama's position, that if you pick something up for somebody else, it's good. Hanami Lehecha the Kamag Baleyadata the Chavrei. That's only if you pick it up on with intending to get it for the other guy. Hi, adati dideka magbalei. But in our case, in the Mishnah, he's picking it up for himself. So iulokani lachrini makni. But now, in the case of the pikeach is picking it up because the pikeach and cheresh are trying to pick this thing up, each one of them first, like in our Mishnah. The pikeach is picking up for himself. He's not picking up for the cheresh. So therefore, how could it be that the pikeach is not kona himself, but he's makin it for the cheresh? So then, ela'ema, now we have to turn around, and I told you we do a 180. We talk shelo kana pikeach, lo kana cheresh. And this sort of is a migo, but it's an inverted migo. Since the pikeach can't be kona for himself, his kinyan also won't be valid for another, which is the cheresh, which means nobody's kona this mitziah. So why is this any different than two cherishim? The answer is hatam tkinu l'rabbanu d'latil insuyi. When there's two cherishim pick something up, chacham say they both have a kinyan, we split it, just so they won't fight about it. Hacha meimar amar, but here the cherish is not going to feel slighted because it's pikeach l'kone, ana ikni. The pikeach isn't able to be kone. How could I be kone? He's not going to feel weird about not being able to kone. He understands that. So amar rav acha mirei rav ada rav ashi. Now, that settles the Rava's position on the Migo and the application of the Migo. And the question is, do you get Rambam Chama Mehecha? Where did Rambam Chama get his inference from that the two apply to our Mishnah that Magbiyam Mesil Chavero Kona Chavero? If you think it's from the opening line, Shtaimochse Metali Tatum Haika Amar Kula Shali Va'ana Agba Kula. What do you mean? Each guy is saying it's all mine. I picked it up myself. Nobody's saying we picked it up together. Amar Kula Shali Agba Kula. Elamih Hadik Tani must be from the second part. Zel Mar Kula Shali V'Zel Mar Kula Shali. Hu Atul Amali. Why? And this goes back to the first sugi in the Masachet. Why repeat? Have a second form of the Taina. Zel Kula Shali V'Zel Kula Shali. From the fact that we have this extra line, that's there to teach you how we've already established that the first line mitzatia is mitzia, and the second one kula shali is mekachom emkar. Ella misefa must be from the next part of the Mishnah. Zelmer kula shali was zelmer chetzia shali. Hatu amali. What do I need that extra case in there? And so Mishnah Yitera Shema Minang Miyam Tzela Chavero Kana Chavero. Again, this extra line must be there to teach me that principle. Amai Dima Mitzia, but who says that Keula Shalim Chetzah Shalim is talking about a Mitzia? Dima Mekach HaMemkar, maybe that's talking about another case of purchase. Chitema Mekach HaMemkar Mayla Memra, because you could argue back, perhaps, that there's no need to teach me that if a guy says, I bought all of it, and the other guy says, I bought half of it, that that's how you would split it, 3/4 and 1/4. Here's the reason. Because if, in the case of Mekach HaMemkar, I still need to teach it, because I would think the guy who says Chetzi Shali should be considered a Meshiv Aveda. And therefore, Vali Patern shouldn't have to take the Shavua. Because he could have argued Kula Shali, and the fact he didn't, we should accept what he's saying. Kamash Malan, Dahai Erumi Kamari. It's the opposite. We think this guy is really lying. So for Iyamina Kula Shali, he thought, if I say Kula Shali by Neshtabu, they're going to make me take an oath. Hey, Ma'achad Eli Kamesha Veda. You know what? I'll be a nice guy. I'll say only half is mine. Really, none of it is his. And then they'll consider me to be a good guy and won't make it Shua via Pater. So all of this is needed. None of this is extra yet. Rambam Chama still has nowhere to get this diuk from. Elamihai. Must be from the Mishnah Bet. Hayushnaim Rochvino Gabe Bema. So, Hatulamali, what do I need the case of the two guys riding on the animal? The answer is very simple. Maybe the purpose of the second Mishnah is to teach me a very big chiddush, which is riding on an animal is a kinyan. It's from the very end of Mishnah Bet that when the two litigants come to an agreement or they have edim, cholkin b'lo shvua. But my, what's the case? Even Mekach HaMemkar Tzricha LeMeimar, it's clear that if there was a case of purchase and then they've come to an agreement, that they'd split it without a shvua. We don't need to teach that. Elah b'mitziah, must be talking about a mitziah. Shema minang, yon zel chavero, kona chavero. And Rambam Chama says, you see, if the two of them come to an agreement, then they split it as per their agreement, and the one guy picking it up and ends up being on behalf of the other guy. It's a valid kinyan. So you see that principle from there. And Rava Marlacha, Migro Zach Lanavshi, Zach Inam Lachavarin. Rava says, my principle also comes out of there. Because the fact that you picked it up and you were Kona, part of it for yourself, that Kenya now brings the other fellow along. Okay, the last piece that we have to do, which will be in the next podcast, starts at the bottom of Daf Chet Amud Aleph, and takes us all the way to the next Mishnah, Mishnah Gimel, which is on Tet Amud Bet, and it deals with the issue of Kinyan Rochev and the second Mishnah, which is about the two guys riding on the animal. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up in the next podcast.